Cougar fans, it is time.
Touchdown! What a grab!
It's time to raise your colors, raise your voice, and join in on the raucous roundtable about your favorite team, the BYU Cougars.
20, 15, 10, 5, touchdown!
It's time to tailgate. Cougar Tailgate, where BYU sports fandom lives. And here's your host, Lauren McClain.
What's up, Cougar Nation? I'm Lauren McClain, and we're here to tailgate with you, doing what we do best, talking all things BYU Cougars. Joining me today is Senior Assistant Athletic Director for Broadcast Relations, Duff Tittle, and Assistant Athletic Director for Football Strategic Communications, Brett Pine. They are also the authors of the new book, 100 Years of BYU Football, that releases on June 3rd at Deseret Book. Guys, thank you so much for being here to discuss this incredible book. I feel like fans are going to eat this up. Is this crazy that you're finally here? It's coming.
Yeah, it's been a long time coming, this book, for sure. And thank you for having us on.
Absolutely.
Yeah, appreciate it.
Duff, you've worked at BYU for 28 years, about?
Yeah, something like that.
And then Brett, I believe you're around 25 years.
You know, I'm not good at math, but that sounds about right. Yeah.
You're like, man, I don't know, but it's been a long time, whatever
we're,
number
we're quarter century, guys.
Well, both of you guys got your bachelor's degree at BYU in the early 90s. You got your master's degree here, Brett. You've seen and experienced so much within the BYU football program, from Lavelle to Kalani. Plus, you grew up in the next town over in Orem, Utah, before that, and watched all the gloriousness of BYU football in the 70s and 80s as young fans. And that's part of what makes this book so intriguing. You've seen it all, and I know you've had a lot of help, but what an undertaking. This book is told from the perspective and personal accounts of more than 100 former coaches, players, and administrators who influenced the program, with over 400 images, including some that have never been used in print before. It's an incredible book, and you guys gave me a copy of it, and I just was eating it up. I loved it. So I want to know, how did the idea for this book originally come about? Let's start with Duff.
That's a good place to start, because he was the one that had the original idea.
Well, I'd been involved in a couple of other books, and then, of course, in the 25 years that we've both been here, there's been a lot of interviews that we've been involved with. So we've heard a lot of stories. And in some of those previous efforts, a lot of the interviews that we had done for various things were unused. And there was these great stories that maybe didn't fit a format of another program or another interview that we'd done. And we just felt like these stories needed to be told. They needed a legacy place to live, you know. And then when we realized that the 100-year anniversary of BYU football would be in 2024, this a few years ago, we thought, well, yeah, this would be the perfect time to bring these stories out and let former players, coaches, administrators, kind of their voices be heard, the behind-the-scenes look at what really happened in those great moments and victories and games. And that was kind of the genesis of it.
Yeah, and having, you know, said that, it's impossible to tell everything, you know, especially when you're going back and covering that much territory, so to speak. But I think one of the things you appreciate when you see these people or understand what, you know, their stories or their side of things or how things happen, but there's so many people that make BYU football what it is. And a lot of them are people that don't get mentioned ever. You know, their names aren't necessarily listed in the starting lineups of the games and everything that goes on, you know, with regard to that. But they're a significant part of why the program is successful. And so, I mean, a lot of going through this is just even gaining a deeper appreciation for, you know, really all that takes place within a program, the coaches, what they've done, the athletes, the players. It was definitely an undertaking, but something that as we got into it was, you know, even more, I think I gained much more appreciation for something that I felt like I knew a lot about to begin with.
Brett, before you began, did you have any idea the kind of time and effort it would take to make this idea a reality?
No. Yeah, I'm still catching up on sleep, because the evening work, you know, kind of got going there for a while, but you start gaining appreciation for things you're discovering. And like, I've never spent so much time in the BYU Banyans, you know, and you know, even just learning what some of the early people, you know, the coaches in the 20s that you know no one's talking about now or knows who they are, but just some of the ways that they, you know, put some, you know, serious reflection into their work and how they could do it to make the program successful. And those are kind of, you know, early years before things really got known. And obviously the whole history, I mean, Duff has done a lot of research in that area, and there's a lot that just kind of kept evolving about the story of BYU football and how it continued to grow and evolve. And so hopefully that's reflected in the book. But you can't tell all the stories. There's so many that you have to kind of pick some of them.
You're just going to have to start writing another book, I guess. No, there is some amazing stories. And you mentioned, you know, you bring up stuff from the 1920s when BYU football first began. We'll get into some of those stories a little later. But Duff, what was the process behind researching some of these things where clearly you weren't alive, you know, and researching all these stories and the details about them?
Yeah, I mentioned earlier that I'd been involved in the writing of a couple of other books. And so to answer your other question is, you know, how did it all start? I'd gone through that process before and I knew what it was going to take and I didn't want to do it alone. And so I asked Brett if he'd be interested in, you know, co-authoring this, because I just knew that if we're going to do a real deep dive into some of this historical information, it was going to take a lot of time. And, you know, it's a lot of nights, it's a lot of weekends, it's a lot of, you know, put the kids to bed and settle into your office at home and write and research and read. And so, you know, I think there were some really great things that happened along the way in the previous books where I stumbled into great information as I was going through L. Tom Perry Special Collections on the BYU campus in the library. It's like a treasure trove. If you're a history buff, it's just like, it's, you know, like finding the Holy Grail in many ways. And so you go into a room by yourself and they bring out these boxes that have been in cold storage, and you put on white gloves and you look through these documents that have been there for 100 years or more. And it's kind of there's an experience there of like almost being transported back in time as you read people's notes or meeting notes or, you know, historical documents were there. And then I'd say maybe 6 or 7 years ago, we started the process of scanning and digitizing the athletic library or our history archives. Shout out to Jenny Wheeler, who was our office manager at the time, who tackled that project. It was about a 3 to 4 year project to, you know, take basically about 30 filing cabinets, those big 5-drawer wide filing cabinets full of documents, and, you know, scan those. That actually made it, I didn't have that opportunity when, you know, the vault with the other two books. But it made it really easy that it was digitized, because then you could run searches for various things, and we found stuff that we didn't know existed. Lots of it, actually. So that process was kind of fun. You almost feel like you're a bit of a sleuth and you're looking for clues.
So hard to try and narrow it down, though. Like you said, there's so much information. So how were you guys able to, of all the, I'm sure, thousands of documents and things that you had, narrow it down to the best information that you wanted to include in your book, Brett?
You know, it was an evolving process, really. I mean, it was something where you got into it and it's like, you know, we identified early, like, a lot of big events and things that we knew we wanted to include. You know, then we had speculation on other things. And then as we got into researching and discovering things, you know, that evolved, and even how the book was presented in a way evolved, just because, you know, there really was an overriding narrative overall that kind of took place. And it was something, that part of it was fun, the discovery of things. And obviously, you know, we've been around the program, as you alluded to at the beginning, for a little while. So, I mean, there's certain things that we were aware of and knew. And maybe knew that people weren't as, you know, in tune with compared to other stories that have been told out there. And so, you know, we knew that there was some of those that were already there, and it was a matter of just talking to certain people and delving into them a little bit more. But, it was an evolving process, I would say.
You guys know so many stories. I've thought about that before. Like, these guys, they've seen it all, and you've been on the inside with the coaches and the players, and there's got to be so many just incredible things that you've heard and that you've seen, and some which are included in this book. Discuss the process of how you co-authored it together, because that's a difficult thing, right? Because Duff, you were able to write two books kind of by yourself. You can kind of do things your own way, but when you got two authors, how do you guys collaborate and make that work?
I don't know how much we should reveal.
And you're still friends, right?
Therein is the secret sauce. Yeah. You know, we've known each other you mentioned we grew up in Orem. We grew up in the same neighborhood. Mm. And so we've known each other since we were, I guess it's fair to say, young kids. Mm-hmm. And there's just always been a great chemistry. And the things that I'm maybe are, you know, things that I'm good at in the professional world, or the things I'm not good at, especially, he's really good at.
Yeah.
And so he's a detail guy, and he doesn't miss things. I'm more of a creative guy, and I'm kind of out there, and he has to kind of reel me in. So this process was fun that way, in that we broke it up and said, I'll take this, you take that. And we kind of worked to our strengths.
Yeah.
And where we'd both been here, you know, for the last 25 years of the 100, we knew a lot of that stuff. Mm-hmm. That was kind of the low-hanging fruit in a way. It was this other, the history going back, you know, especially where we didn't have things in our archives in athletics. So the athletic archives started in the early 50s, thanks to a guy named Dave Schultes, who was the first sports information director at BYU. And Dave and Ralph Sobel and Val Hill and others did an incredible job of keeping information. We were able to, because I had done some of the other books and had a lot of research, some of it that had never been used, a lot of it that had never been used. I kind of took some of that early stuff and just started going. And then Brett started to compile some of the more recent things. And he, with him being directly over football, where I was over additional things in the department, he had unique experiences with Coach Mendenhall and Coach Satake,
yeah.
That I didn't quite have, even though I assist with football. So that's how we kind of divided it. Fair to say, I think.
Yeah, I mean, if you look back, hopefully the footprints or the fingerprints, so to speak, that we left behind aren't recognizable. You know, we tried to you know, kind of make sure that it was kind of more of one voice that was coming out, but and so that was on purpose, But yeah, I mean, it was a lot of the early years, you know, Duff had done a lot of research on, so he delved back into that. And then, you know, and Duff mentioned being kids, but growing up BYU fans, you know, we have early memories as well of attending games and some of the things that, as you're researching, that took place as far as like stadium expansions and things that happened that we actually were part of, but our perspective was different as younger kids, you know. So yeah, we divided that all up and then, you know, kind of came back and forth, and you know, there's parts of areas where it was predominantly maybe an area Duff was doing, but it was like, you know, I ended up diving into a few parts of it, and vice versa with him and parts that I was doing, and we kind of ham and egged it pretty well, I think, going back and forth.
Were there any, because you have two different personalities, was there anything you guys disagreed on that should be put in the book or should not be? I'm assuming that's a yes. I mean, because that's hard. That's a lot of stuff.
You know, I don't really remember a big disagreement. I mean, part of that was that this was a process. I mean, like I said, it evolved over time. I mean, probably if we look back at our first draft of like an outline that we had put together, mm-hmm. we'd probably go, oh, wow, we strayed from that, you know, because there maybe it was based on like a perception you might have of something. But then as you get into researching it, you discover things, you think, oh, this is really more significant, or this would be more meaningful for fans to see, or, you know, and sometimes you look at the perspective of, you know, like both of our parents introduced us to BYU sporting events when we were young kids. And I look, you know, I think my dad would probably love seeing this, you know, and things like that can kind of influence you as thinking, what would fans really like to see? And then really we tried to, you know, find things that, you know, was this something that was a little bit of a turning point or, you know, had an impact in the program, even though at the time it might've seemed like a small thing.
Yeah.
But, you know, really, I can't think of one big thing that we
I don't think so.
We disagreed over that way. So
that's Brett's incredible. So easygoing. He just kind of goes with the flow. And
he is. You're both easy to work with. Duff, what would you say, looking back, was the most challenging part of writing this book?
I think it kind of just went on and on. I don't know if there's a way to kind of describe that. We thought the process would be somewhere in the neighborhood of about 9 months, and it was ended up being about twice that much. Mm. Through the process and speaking with Desert Book and talking about the book and ultimately pitching the book I did to them, they eventually, we did four chapters. And we had written the chapters, but we also designed the chapters, and we sent them to them kind of with an idea of this is what the book would look like. And so they could get a feel for not only the writing, yeah. but also the design and the style. And then they came back eventually and said, would you be interested in doing the design work as well? And I think we both would admit that we really, we didn't realize how much time that would take.
The design work?
Yeah, estimated the design process. And, you know, we knew we were going to try to get as much imagery in here as we possibly could and show photos especially that had never maybe been used before. But the actual process of gathering those and coming across them and, you know, being involved in the football program for, you know, more than 25 years, both of us, we figured we'd seen most everything as far as images go.
Right.
But thanks to, again, Jenny Wheeler and that project of archiving, digitally archiving everything, I came across images, and Brett did too, that we'd never seen before. Mm. And that was fun. That discovery was really fun.
Duff, you've also authored two other books, BYU Football Vault, The History of the Cougars in 2008 and What It Means to Be a Cougar in 2011. How did the process of creating this book differ from those other two books?
This book is a genesis of ours. The other book, I had the companies come to me and ask me if I was interested in being involved in the project, and they already had blueprints. Mm. In other words, they'd already done the book for some of the other top football programs in the country.
Okay.
And they came to us and said, we really want to do BYU. Those are strange ways how that all came about. This one was, I guess, the last one I did about, what, a dozen years ago or so? Brett was the unofficial editor of that book and helped me with that project. And when we were done, I interviewed about 50 former players going clear back to 1942 was the oldest player that I had interviewed. Wow. But that book was so specific, What It Means to Be a Cougar, was their views of what it meant to them to come to BYU and have the football experience. They told me so many stories that didn't fit the format of the book. And so we eventually just said, these stories have to live somewhere.
Yeah.
We just had, there was too much great things that we learned. And there's a story in there from Lavelle's last game that Brandon Doman told me. Maybe we'll get to it later, but it's one of my all-time favorite stories. And the crazy thing about it is Brandon told me the story in the process of doing an interview. And I'm thinking to myself, wait a minute, I was there with him when this thing was happening. And I didn't even know that it had happened because he didn't share it with me the night it was happening. But later when he was telling me the story about his final game and getting that win for Lavelle in 2000. Yeah. He shared with me a story that had happened. I was like, Brandon, I was there that night. I didn't even know that. I kind of he got a phone call, and it was just, so these stories had to be told, I guess. And that's why we went after this project. So
that's a great tease for what's to come. We're going to take a quick break, but when we come back, Duff and Brett will break down some of their favorite stories and discoveries from 100 years of BYU football. This is Cougar Tailgate. Welcome back to Cougar Tailgate. I'm Lauren McClain, continuing my conversation with Senior Assistant Athletic Director for Broadcast Relations, Duff Tittle, and Assistant Athletic Director for Football Strategic Communications, Brett Pine. They are also the authors of the new book, 100 Years of BYU Football, that releases on June 3rd at Deseret Book. So I got to read a copy of your book, and there's some incredible stories, including some that nobody have ever heard before. So let's get to some of your favorites. Duff, you were mentioning Lavelle's last game. You interviewed Brandon Doman. Tell us a little about that story.
So, you know, Lavelle's last game was at Utah, and it was a come-from-behind victory. Most people that are Cougar fans are going to know that story. And that you know, that fourth down conversion and going down the field, there were things that happened in that huddle that Brandon told me about. I mean, I was on the sidelines for that game next to Lavelle towards the end, and so, but I didn't know what was going on in the huddle, you know. And so Brandon shared with us the actual final drive and what was going on in the huddle. Then afterwards, when we're in the middle of doing media interview, his brother, who is also a former player, comes to the field and says, "Hey, I've got a phone call for you." And we're in the middle of doing media, and so he says, "Well, who is it?" And he's like, "Well, Steve Young wants to talk to you. As soon as you're done, you need to give him a call." So Brandon didn't say anything to me at the time. I was with him doing those interviews. Brett was there too, and he didn't say anything to either of us at the time. But so eventually we finished the media that night, and his brother called Steve, gives the cell phone to Brandon. I do remember Brandon walking out onto the field talking to somebody on a cell phone, but I didn't know what was going mm-hmm. on. So, and we were pretty much done at that point. So we were moving on to our next, you know, responsibility. Yeah. And Steve told him to go out on the field and remember the moment, remember mm-hmm. the final drive, and kind of just put it in your head. And he said something to the effect of, "You may go on to play in the NFL, you may go on to win Super Bowls, but you'll never have a sweeter moment than right now." Mm. So I thought that was a really, really cool story of not only, you know, that moment, Lavelle's last game and getting a win for Lavelle to send him out the right way, but that a former superstar football player talks to the brotherhood of, you know, being part of that fraternity, would call another quarterback of the day and say, "It's never going to get any better than that. Remember the moment. So 20 years from now,
yeah.
it'll be a moment that you'll always remember." So I thought it was a really cool story.
So cool coming from Steve Young, who did do all those things.
Yeah, right.
Star exactly. in the NFL, won the Super Bowl, but he still clings to BYU and those memories there.
Sure. The book's full of those types of stories.
Mm. It begins with you guys talking about famed Notre Dame head football coach Newt Rockne visited BYU, was hired as an adjunct professor for a time, which is crazy, right? And then helped shape the beginning of the BYU football program. Brett, talk about that a little bit.
You know, that's a story I think maybe some people have heard before, but there's a lot of it that wasn't known. And one of the things that we kind of uncovered was a letter that Newt Rockne had written back to the BYU faculty and the coaches so in essence he was coming out to do some, you know, football help with the program, and the only way that he could get paid was to become an adjunct professor. And so
crazy.
And so, like, he actually, you know, there was grading involved in the class and everything, and so there's like a back and forth with him, like, about grades, and you know, it's just kind of fun to discover these kinds of things and actually see the letter and things that are written in there. And you know, I mean, he unfortunately passed away earlier than he would have wanted, yeah. but you know, was an all-time coach, you know, and to think of BYU in that era, you know, really unknown in terms of the brand of BYU, and we can get into this, but I mean, how it's grown. But, you know, at that time, I mean, having someone like Newt Rockne come to BYU was pretty significant.
And Newt Rockne, who was, if not the original guy to start the forward pass, right? And then he invited some of BYU's early coaches, I was reading in your book, to come to his camps. And, mm-hmm. and really, he had such a huge hand in starting the BYU football program. Let's jump to 1953, because I loved this. First televised BYU-Utah rivalry game with a viewership of over 60 million. And that was huge publicity for BYU. So you're kind of into the broadcast world, Duff. Talk a little bit about that moment there.
Well, even huge numbers of today, you know, the national championship games, not a fraction of 60 million people watching a college football game. It basically was the second year that college football was on television. They had tried it the previous year, and I believe there were 8 games selected in 52, something like that.
Yeah.
And then 53 rolled around, and BYU was and Utah were selected to play in one of the 12 or 13 games that were broadcast nationally that year. That's it. In today's world, to think there were only 13 or 12 or 13 games broadcast is kind of a crazy thought, but that's the way it was. And television was in its infancy, and broadcasting live college football games was. And BYU Utah were fortunate enough to play in that game. It was on Thanksgiving Day. It was in Salt Lake City. We were, I think, a 4-touchdown underdog and missed an extra point late in that game that would have tied the game. But, yeah, to think that 60 million people watched that across the country on Thanksgiving Day is a remarkable thought. And it was the first live television broadcast in the Rocky Mountain region. So pretty cool. The great Mel Allen, who was the Yankee sportscaster, called that game, which is also a kind of a unique, cool thing. Because when we were kids, there was a Saturday program called This Week in Baseball, and Mel Allen was the host. And so the voice of Mel Allen is something I'll always remember. But
so cool.
Kind of a cool thing.
It's
really
amazing.
Yeah, that actually started because I was looking for some things for Legacy Hall at one point, our museum on campus, our athletic museum, and I came across a listing where they were auctioning off the Mel Allen estate, and one of the things in that estate was a media guide and a press pass from BYU in 1953.
Wow.
And I'm like, what is
Which
this
all about?
Which
you have a picture of in your book.
That's correct. So I actually bought the...
You bought it.
I bought the listing. Yeah, that's why the press credentials in the book is because I own it. There was a press photo of Mel Allen that was also included in the estate sale, so I bought them both. And
wow.
And so then we started to do some digging about this game, and turns out that in the special collections at BYU, there's memos going back and forth from the network and the sponsor. And they held a big gala in Salt Lake and a big party the night before the game. It was a big deal, you know. Who would have known?
You guys mentioned in your book, too, that kind of put BYU football on the map, where especially people right on the East Coast probably didn't know much about them. And then here they are, the BYU-Utah rivalry.
And I really think it speaks to what became part of our legacy as far as when you think of BYU football. I mean, you think of the football program itself, but you think of our fan base. And you think of our legacy in broadcasting, really. I mean, it's, you know, being one of the early chosen games on a national scale to be featured when hardly anyone was being featured. And then later we go into the book and some things, you know, whether it was radio or television and ways in which those things, as they evolved and were brought to elite levels of, you know, how things are done. And here in the building at BYU Broadcasting, you guys know better than anybody because you guys do it at such an elite level. But the broadcasting legacy associated with BYU Athletics and the BYU football program in particular are a great part of why, you know, the brand has become what it's become.
Right.
And, that was an early beginning of it. But there's other elements of that we try to note in the book as well.
Next week, we'll have part two of my interview with Duff and Brett as we break down some of their favorite stories and discoveries from 100 years of BYU football. Carter Bond and Tori Kimball helped produce this episode with senior producer Terry South. You can join the Cougar Tailgate wherever you get your podcasts, on Apple, TuneIn, Stitcher, Spotify, or on BYUradio.org. Cougar Tailgate is a production of BYU Radio.